back.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever contemplated this. It's not a subject I'm sure you do not want to dwell on. But what will the preacher say at your funeral? And as we know, most people have some sort of service to honor and remember their life after they die. And I've known several people who just kind of expressed that I don't care if I have a funeral or not, because it's not going to matter to me. And that's true. I mean, once we're gone, it's not going to matter to us, but we have to take into consideration, funerals are not for the deceased, funerals are for the living. And it's for them, it's a time of reflection for them. Even Ecclesiastes chapter 7 says that it's better to go to a house of mourning than a house of feasting. Because mourning, the loss of a loved one, you're really smack dabs faced with the fact, yes, they died, I'm going to die. And so we have to be aware of that. And whether a preacher or a friend speaks at the funeral, we must ask ourselves, what will that person say about me? And that's true. And of course, there's been some times, and I'm aware of some funerals that was very difficult to get through, and some were actually very comical to get through. I know there was a very famous preacher. He had one of these big old deep sounding voices, and he always wanted to be very dramatic. And so he stood over the coffin here and was talking to them and said, you know, this here is just an empty shell. The nut is gone. Now, you can imagine how that would have gone. I almost used that at my dad's funeral because, I mean, he was always saying goofy stuff, and my mom always called him a nut. And so I thought that would have been very appropriate, but my mom didn't want me to speak at my dad's funeral, so I didn't. But anyway, yeah, some people do that. And I'm sure we've heard the story of the woman sitting there, and here's the preacher going on and on about how great and wonderful this guy was and how he was so kind and generous and all this stuff. And she nudges her son, son, go up there and look at that casket and see if that's really your pa in there. And so, yeah, I mean, sometimes, and of course, we know that a preacher cannot preach anyone into hell, even though I've been accused of that, but you can't preach them into heaven either. And so, we just have to be aware of those things. See, one of my responsibilities as a Christian and a preacher is to try and comfort families who have lost loved ones. And sometimes they're difficult to do. And sometimes it makes it easier. And comfort can come about through one or more or several avenues. Being there praying for somebody and being there to answer questions and talk about their loved ones, that can be helpful, saying something. And my very first funeral that I preached, I really had no idea what to do. I'd gotten some books on funerals and the purpose of funerals, and I think I had that down. But what I did was when the funeral director called me and asked me to do the funeral, I said, well, okay. So I got the family together. I sat them in the room and said, tell me about your mom. And so they were saying things, and everything I was hearing, well, that's what a Christian is all about. And I mean, being kind and generous and giving and never thinking about their self. And I mean, that's right. Okay, so I was able to get through that sermon pretty well. The next sermon I had to preach, next funeral I preached, was for a person who never darkened the door of the church building. And from all accounts, he was just as vile a person as you can imagine. And I really asked, the wife, who was a member, she said, will you do it? Well, you know, I'm really not comfortable because he wasn't a Christian and he's not going to be saved. And you know that. And I would feel very uncomfortable about this, but she asked me, so I agreed to do it. And so I just took it from the opportunity. We who are living have a responsibility to be faithful to God and to live our life so we'll be ready to meet God. And pretty much the comments were, well, he preached daddy right into hell. And so because of that, they were really against their mom coming to church. anymore. But she did. And so, yeah, I mean, we've had some situations and we do that. And one thing we can do is friendship and support. Because we, as a church family, we need to support each other and we need to support our family members. And if that's the family member of one of our members, I mean, we have to do that. And so helping out in areas where perhaps the load can be made lighter for some of them. I sat down with one family as they were sitting with the funeral director and they were talking about making plans and what it was going to cost and things like that. And they asked my comment on a few things, so I gave it. And so that can be done, helpful in any way. And that's what we're there for. If you've ever known any funeral directors, that's the whole thing, is comforting the family. And that's the whole purpose they do these things. And sometimes it's just by expressions of love. I mean, just telling someone you love them. I mean, and you care about them. That means so much, especially in such an emotional time as a funeral. And the greatest degree of comfort should come from the Word of God. And the Bible tells us that, like I said, in Ecclesiastes 7, the Word of God gives us comfort, and we should take advantage of that. Now, honestly, I've never preached an easy funeral, but some are easier than others, especially when the member is a faithful child of God. I mean, it's really easy to preach that kind of funeral. And sometimes, yeah, depending on the type of person they are, if you've been around them, you can pretty much, okay, what would they be like if they were here? They'd be cutting up and telling jokes. And so you try and temper them down a little bit, not to do too many, but yeah, it's fine. And I've been to funerals where the preacher talking about them and, I mean, just said some things they did and everybody laughed and it was fun. But it's really not easy, and they're difficult from the standpoint of the emotions that are involved, because everybody is at the height of their emotions. They're either great sorrow, sad, and all these things, and it's kind of hard for them to concentrate on a message or a sermon when they're thinking about the loss of their loved one. And so it can become very difficult. And like I said, some are easier than others. At times, a great degree of comfort can be offered from God's word because the deceased was a Christian. And that is so much easier for a Christian when we talk about them. And it's just so much easier for Christians to handle. Those who aren't Christians, they don't understand that. And so we have to be aware of that. At other times, and tragically, no hope can be offered from the scriptures on behalf of the deceased. I mean, they were totally anti-God their whole life. Now, all of a sudden, well, what can we do to give the family hope for their loved one? We can't do a thing. So we just have to talk about the importance of, okay, now it comes down. Your loved one's gone. Now it's up to you. Are you going to make it to heaven? And how can you make it to heaven? So that's what it gets down to. And these are the most difficult. And once again, because of the emotions and their feelings and all this, and they want to hear good things about mama or papa. They want to hear good things that, oh yes, they're going straight into heaven and all this good stuff. I mean, it's sometimes hard to listen to things like that. Especially if you know the person was nothing near a good person whatsoever. Yeah, I was accused of preaching this one person into hell, and I told you about that. All right. We understand, however, that nothing said at a memorial service will change the destiny of the deceased. You know, if they were bad, they were bad. If they were good, they were good. And so all the remarks at a funeral really are directed towards the living. Now, if they were a good, faithful Christian, you can point to their example. Now, they gave you the example that you need to see. And sometimes family members, they know that they were a good Christian, they were strong and faithful, but they're not willing to be faithful themselves. And trying to tell people that in the strongest language you can without being disrespectful, that makes it very difficult. And so the remarks are designed to comfort the family if possible. If their loved one was faithful and they evidence that by their life, then yes, you can give them hope that their loved one is going to be okay. But then you have to ask them, but what about you? Are you the same type of person they were? Are you as faithful to God as they were? And then it starts to get uncomfortable for them, and they don't want to hear it. And they cause us to see the need to prepare for death because we cannot avoid us. That's what one of the purposes of funerals is, give closure for the family, but also to remind us, this is the end. This is what life is all about. It's coming to an end, and we have to be prepared for it. All right, some of you perhaps have prearranged funerals, and that's a great blessing for the family, because otherwise that when the funeral director says, okay, well, what you want for a funeral is going to cost you $11,800. And whoa, where'd that come from? And luckily, this family had an insurance policy which took maybe several thousand dollars off of it, but then they still had to end up writing a check for like $5,000. And my mom and dad planned this years before their passing, and the funeral director said, okay, well, when you signed up for it, you paid like $4,000 for a funeral. If we'd been doing that today, it would have cost you about $20,000. And so, I mean, it really gets expensive. And of course, Social Security pays out the death benefit to their spouse of $255. Yeah, right. But anyway, prearranged funerals are good. When people can do that, it takes a burden off their kids and their family. And they have to let their kids know, okay, I have this. We've seen some commercials on TV lately about people talking about their prearranged funerals. Don't worry, you'll be taken care of. I have it all planned. And so everything is arranged and paid for in advance. And so it does provide a burden or relieve a burden from the family. And so, and this is such a difficult time to begin with. It's not a time to be thinking about money or things like that. And so in considering the idea of a prearranged funeral, I would like to suggest that you also prearrange what the preacher will say at your funeral. We've got to think about it. Now you got to think, now what would the preacher say at my funeral? I mean, would he talk about how great I am, how good I am, or would just be trying to comfort the family, says, don't worry about it, you still got yourself to worry about. I mean, so there's different things you can do here. All right. Upon learning that her cancer was terminal, Sister Sylvia, a member at the church, Sylvia Rich, she called me to her bedside and told me, you're going to preach my funeral. She didn't give me a, will you preach my funeral? No, you will preach my funeral. And so she didn't ask me to preach. She told me that. And of course, that's the way she was. She's very strong, probably one of the most powerful, strongest members of that congregation where I was. And she was always in there gung-ho on the lessons and teaching. And yet, most of her family had gone off into denominationalism. And she was extremely upset. She was always getting on them. And so she told me to load up both barrels and let them have it. So within the few weeks, she was placed into hospice, and I visited several times. He said, here's what I want you to say. And she gave me about 4 or 5 points. I need you to cover this in my funeral and talk about this. And so, and what that did, it gave me some confidence that I can say what needed to be said and what she had wished for. You know, a lot of times when people have funerals, well, it's what the family wishes for. But what would they wish for? And you know, a lot of people, after they've died, basically the family just ignored whatever there was in their will or whatever their desire was. Well, we're going to do it this way. And the family was suggesting, well, let's have instrumental music. Whoa, Sylvia would not put up with that. She would not want that. So we got a cappella music, and we had some singers there to do that. But she said, let them have it with both barrels. And so most of her children knew the truth, but they had drifted away, and some gave up on God altogether. And so I honored her request and tried my best not to be mean about it. And basically, most of the family appreciated what we had to say because they knew it was the truth. Why did they know it was the truth? Because she'd been loading up on them and giving it to them for years. And so they knew where this message came from. And it came from their mama. And so that's what I could do with confidence. And like I say, a lot of them complimented me for what I did have to say and how I said it. And so I got mostly positive comments from them. Now, we need to take some time to consider a few things that might and could be said at your service. All right, think about these questions. So at your memorial service, will the preacher be able to say that you were baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? And yes, most of us, we could say that. And so we could do that. And that's the first step of having a hope of salvation, is being baptized into Christ and putting on Christ. Will the preacher say that you attended every service of the church when you were physically able? Which we know we're supposed to do. Some people just kind of think of it as a option if you want to. But for some of us, we were brought up that way. We don't miss church unless we're sitting in a hospital or we're so sick that we might give something to somebody. And so, yeah, whenever we're physically able, we should be here. And the preacher talks about this person, it talks about the deep faith that they have. Will the preacher say that you exerted a positive Christian influence? Did you let your light shine? And so I'm saying this now so you can start thinking, can the preacher say that about me? Am I letting my light shine? And so you consider that. Would the preacher say that you were the type of person that visited the sick and demonstrated concern for the less fortunate? I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. Matthew 25, you know, Jesus got the sheep on the right, the goats on the left, said, you didn't even take care of me. And they said, well, when did we see you? And he said, the fact that you didn't do it for the least of mine, you didn't do it for me. And so, yeah, do we show concern for the lost? For those who are less fortunate? And do we help them? Sometimes, if we have the means and the opportunity, yeah, we'll do that. I mean, sometimes if you have $5 in your pocket and you see a guy sitting there holding out a can or something, sometimes I do. Sometimes I realize that's not what he needs. He needs a meal or he needs something else. But sometimes we have to use wisdom in that field. And will the preacher say that you tried to encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ? Give each other encouragement. I mean, that's what we're here for. We're supposed to be encouraging each other. And so encouraging each other to be faithful and strong and to not give in to all the pressure of this world, because the world is telling you, quit, quit, quit. That's what the world is telling you. But our brothers say, don't quit. The reward's going to be too great to give up. So don't quit. And that's what we're there for. We need to encourage one another, not to fall away. And will the preacher say that you tried your best to help the church grow? I mean, how do we help the church grow? Well, we need to be strong and faithful, but we also need to invite people and encourage people to be strong and faithful and to come to church and invite them to bring their friends. And we invite our friends. And so we need to try and offer this hope for anybody, because most of the people we deal with are lost. I mean, John goes to work for a trucking company. How many of them are actually faithful Christians? Not too many. I worked at Lockheed. Probably not too many Christians there. I mean, some of you worked in schools and stuff, and the parents, they have all sorts of different things. And so, I mean, I worked on a trucking dock and, in the trucking company. I mean, so, yeah, a lot of the people were not Christians, but a few we were able to guide and to help them. So are you doing what you can to help your neighbors and your friends to learn more about Christ? That's what we need to do. Come on. Could they say that you taught your children the way of the Lord and then led them in the right way? Well, yes. You know, some people, this may be a duty that came too late in life. The kids had already grown up before they ever obeyed the gospel, and they couldn't convince their kids. And also, even if you did teach your children right, they can still fall away. I don't mind it. And for years, I struggled with the fact, where did I go wrong? What did I do wrong? And they finally came up and said, you didn't do anything wrong. You taught us what we were supposed to know, and we know what's right, but you didn't do anything wrong. We made the choice. And so, I mean, that's the way we have to look at it sometimes. Yeah, move on. And there's other souls out there who are looking to serve God, and we can help them as well. We'll always be there for our kids. We'll always be there to encourage them to get right with God. And we can warn them, what happens if they don't get right with God before they die? I mean, it's going to be horrible. But we still, if we've taught them like they're supposed to be taught, they've made that choice. And it's a hard pill to swallow for some people. But like I say, I was almost in a state of depression for several years because I didn't know where I went wrong. And they finally told me, you didn't do anything wrong. And others told me that a long time before that, but it took them telling me for I accepted that fact. Maybe you could say that you are a Christian husband or wife. And some who we've already lost, maybe they were a Christian, or they were a Christian husband or wife. And so will the preacher be able to say that you fulfilled the duties as a Christian should, instead of berating and picking on and abusing and things like that? You are basically the kind person that God wants you to be. And will the preacher say that you demonstrated concern for your wayward brothers and sisters in Christ? Now, we've just discussed that a little while ago. Yeah, we do show concern, and we let them know we're always here for them. We're ready to welcome them back if they're ready to start serving God again. And so we just need to let them know that. Will the preacher say that you truly love the Lord and His church? I mean, that's something only your family is going to be able to answer that, because the preacher might see your family member for 1 or 2 hours out of the week, whereas the family is seeing them 20, 30, 40 hours a week. I mean, what will the preacher say about them, and how can they confirm that? Will the preacher say that going to heaven and taking others with you was the most important thing to you? And really, for some, yeah, I think you can say that's what they want. They want souls to be saved. And they're willing to do what they can to guide them and help them. And that's what we all should be doing. Every one of us is a Christian. Our duty should be helping people get to heaven. And the people we deal with, let them know that that's what we are concerned about. Helping them get to heaven. And will the preacher say that you followed the Master's example and went about doing God's will? So you just have to ask these questions about yourself. Is the preacher going to say that about me? I mean, so think about those things. See, as stated, what the preacher does or does not say at your memorial service will not change your destiny. Your destiny is going to be decided by you. You're the one who makes the choices for the things that you're going to do. And however, if he is able to say what we just said a while ago, it would be a great comfort to your family and possibly cause someone to follow your example. And that's what we would hope. Even in death, we would hope that somehow our legacy will go on where we can encourage our family to be faithful to God. And that's what we would want. And so now we think, what will the preacher say at your funeral? And remember, like Sylvia, you, not the preacher, will decide. And you will decide whether to make it easy on the preacher or not. If you're living a faithful life, it will be easier on the preacher or your friend, whoever does this. And I mean, I've known people that asked their friends to preach the funeral. And they weren't preachers, but they did it anyway because they were asked. And so you decide how the preacher's going to talk about you and by the way that you live. So consider these thoughts. I mean, it's something, like I say, we don't like to dwell on this subject. We don't like to think about this subject. But guess what? We're heading that way. All of us are a lot closer to that day than when we were born. There's no doubt about that. And for some of us, we see that time is approaching very fast. And we don't know what it's going to be like. So before we get to that state in life where we can't control ourselves, we can't control our bodies, we can't control our minds, we better make sure we are right with God. And so consider those thoughts. That's our lesson, a simple lesson, but one that we need to consider and think about. So we're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has the need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.